You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, happy anniversary to all of you. I can't believe it's been 3 years. Yes, celebrating 3 years of God's faithfulness. I'm just wondering, how many of you were here that very first Sunday, March 29th, 2015? Come on, let me see your hands. We got a few people around here, some of the OGs. Most of you were team members. You were scrambling around. You were here helping set up. It was chaotic. I can promise you it wasn't as smooth like it was this morning with team members everywhere and everything just going. No, we were running around like, oh my gosh, what did we get ourselves into? Because it was about 15 of us and a bunch of borrowed family and friends who came in from out of town, and we sent a big mailing to the community. We were just happy if anybody showed up. And thank God 135 people did show up, and we birthed the church. It was amazing. Okay, so how many of you were here by our first year anniversary celebration? You came during that first year. Okay, I see some more hands up all over the place. That's awesome. How many of you were here by year two when we celebrated last year? You joined the family within by that second year. All right. How many of you, this is your first time ever celebrating with us as a church? How many of you? Put your hands up. Come on, our family has grown. That is amazing. We're so glad you're here. And if you're a first-time guest, you know, next year you can put your hand in the air and be proud and be like, yeah, I've been around here like forever. Well, you know what? This celebration is really about God's faithfulness. Today is not about patting ourselves on the back and saying how great we are and look how good our church is. This is really a celebration of God's goodness, of his faithfulness. Because I want to tell you, church, what God has done here, only he could do. God has shown up. He's blessed this church. He's moved in our community. And he's done something amazing. And today, we just want to stop and celebrate God's goodness. All glory to God. It's about him today and just giving thanks for his blessing over our church and over our lives. And that's actually what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about blessing. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Anybody? Anybody here? You want the blessing of God on your life, like every area of your life. You want, if you're married, you want your marriage to be blessed. You want your family, your kids to be blessed, your health, your finances, your career. How many of you would say, that sounds good to me. I want the blessing of God on every area of my life. Yeah, that's good. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. The scripture says that you can expect that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. So there is a blessing that comes to those who serve him. Now, the biblical idea of blessing is favor. It's to have God's favor on your life, that God is, he's with you. See, this is about God's provision for human flourishing. That's another way of putting it. If God's blessing is on your life, then you are flourishing. I don't know about you, but I like those friends who have connections, who can open doors, you know? Those kind of friends who always know somebody when you need something. And that's kind of this idea, like, when you have God's blessing in your life, you live with his favor. Like, you know somebody in high places who can open doors, who's got your back. You know what I'm talking about? It's the favor of God. It's living with a sense of God's presence working in your life. It doesn't mean you're not going have any problems, but there's a sense that, like, God is with you, that he's working in your life. Now, you know, sadly, many Christians, when they think about blessing, they kind of think of it as it's all about what I can get from God. Like, blessing is just something I'm going to end up with. Like, for some people, when they give in the offering, it's like playing the divine lottery. Like, if I just keep giving in the offering, soon enough, I'm going to hit the jackpot, right? Like, the numbers are going to line up, and God's just going to bless me with a bunch of money. They kind of think about it that way. Some people, when they think about God and his blessing, they tend to think of God as like the Godfather, like Don Corleone, you know, Marlon Brando from The Godfather. And like, if I just stay in good with my Godfather, you know, if I just honor him, every now and then I can go to him like, Godfather, you know, I really need something. I need your help. Can you help me take care of this? Like, you know, maybe you have a body that you need to disappear or something. I don't know. Godfather, can you help me out? You know, help me out. And you know, the only bad thing is if, you know, it's good when you're in the good graces of your Godfather, but, you know, if you mess up and things go bad, you might get whacked, you know, and then make you an offer that you can't refuse, you know. And some people kind of think of it, they kind of think of it that way, but I want to reframe blessing for you this morning, because in the biblical sense of blessing, it's actually better than you might think. Blessing is better, it's always bigger than you might think, because it's not just about you. Blessing is always bigger than us. The scriptural idea of blessing is it's bigger than you, it's better than us, it's better than what you may have thought of before. And so we're going to look at a story from Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go back to the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to look at the call of Abraham. That Abraham was the great patriarch, the great father of the Jewish people. The Jewish people trace their lineage back to Abraham. Christians trace our spiritual heritage and lineage back to Abraham, okay? If you grew up in Sunday school or catechism, you probably remember learning about Abraham. If you paid attention in world history class at all, you learned something about Abraham because he's one of the most important figures in all of world history. And in Genesis chapter 12, something amazing happens. God himself appears to Abraham and speaks to Abraham and tells him, he says, I want to bless you, but he gives him a call. He calls him to leave his father's household to go to this promised land. It's this amazing story. So look at it with me. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the NIV, the call of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, now he didn't even have the name Abraham yet, which was his covenant name. This is when his name was Abram. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, I mean, this is just amazing, right? I mean, first of all, think about this. God speaks to Abraham like in an audible voice. I don't know about you, but that would be enough for me. Like, that would just be phenomenal. It would just be amazing. But not only does God speak to Abraham, he tells him, listen, I'm going to bless you. Like, I'm calling you to do something great. I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you a promised land. If anybody curses you, they're going to be cursed. Come on, God's, he's like, I've got your back, right? I mean, if God's got your back, who can mess with you? If anybody curses you, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to bless you, and everybody on earth, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Like, how many of you would say, that sounds like pretty good news? I mean, this would be like God showing up, you know, in your life and speaking to you audibly and saying, listen, I'm calling you and I'm going to bless you and I'm moving you from here to Hollywood and you're going to move to Southern California and you're going to become rich and famous and you're going to live close to the ocean and the mountains and you're never going to have to shovel snow again. Come on, my blessing is going to be upon you. How many of you right about now can say, hallelujah, Lord, sign me up. I will go. If someone must go, I will go for you, Lord. I'm going to bless you, make you rich and famous. Okay, Lord, I can do that, right? Now, it sounds like that. It sounds glamorous. But look at verse 1 again, okay? A little perspective here. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. See, there was nothing easy about this move. This move required a lot of sacrifice. As modern-day people, we're mobile. We move to new cities. Most of you moved here to the New York City area from different parts of the country, different parts of the world. No big deal for us. But in an ancient context, to leave your country, to leave your people, to leave your father's household, to go to a foreign land. Nobody did that. It was like, leave everything you know, everything that's defined your life, and trust me as I move you to this promised land and do something with your life that you don't even understand. This was scary, I promise you. Now, I can relate to Abraham a little bit because over 4 years ago, as I began to pray about the next step that God had for my life, he began to put this calling and this dream in my heart to go to the New York City area to plant a church. And after, you know, spending a lot of time here and many trips from way up in Buffalo, upstate New York, coming down here to the New York City area, we found ourselves in Westchester. I didn't know nothing about Westchester County. I wasn't friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton. I didn't know anybody here, okay? I got here. I didn't know nothing about Westchester. I knew it was expensive when I started looking at rents. So I was like, okay, Lord, are you sure you're calling us there? I mean, because the math is not adding up. I got it. Let me tell you, when we moved here, okay, we knew we had a few pastor friends, but it wasn't like the truck pulled up in February 2014 and there was a welcome committee of like 100 people. We're so glad you're here. You came to start a church. Yes, we've been waiting for you. No, it was lonely. It was quiet. It was scary. We left everything we knew. We left like all of our family and our friends, and we moved here. My wife was pregnant. We had my two little boys, and you know, I used to preach and raise money for the church, and I'd tell people, listen, we are committed to church growth. We will do whatever it takes to grow this church, as I showed off my pregnant wife. We're like, come on, we're in this. We are growing the church for you, Lord. It was lonely, man. We didn't know anybody. There was nobody around. It was the scariest thing I've ever done with my life. So I can relate to this because we kind of had an Abraham call on our lives to go to this new place to start this new work. But I want you to look at verse 3. Let's hone in here on verse 3 because God says something amazing to Abraham and the kind of blessing he was going to bless him with. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God tells Abraham that he's going to give him a blessing that it's so big. It's not even just about him. It's about the whole world. All peoples on earth are going to be blessed through you. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. This blessing wasn't just about him. Now, Abraham received this blessing. Abraham went on to be one of the most wealthy men in the world, okay? He had servants. He had silver and gold. He had many donkeys and camels. That doesn't sound impressive to you and me, but back then, that was like currency, okay? You know, if you're wealthy in Westchester, you might want to have a little showpiece. You might drive a Porsche or a Mercedes. No, if you were Abraham, you were showing off your camel. You're like, yeah, this is my prize camel with three humps, okay, baby? I'm rolling in my camel with three humps. Thank you. This man had camels and donkeys and servants and gold and silver. But here's the reality. The blessing wasn't just about Abraham becoming a rich man. The blessing was so much bigger than that. It was always bigger than Abraham. It was about nations and generations. And I want to tell you this morning that the blessing of God, it is bigger than you. It's not just about what you can get and what you can receive. You are blessed to be a blessing. If you're a believer, you have the blessing of God on your life, you're blessed to be a blessing. So just turn to somebody and preach this morning and say, you're blessed to be a blessing. Preach to somebody this morning. Come on. See, there are two different ways to conceive of blessing, two different ways to think about blessing, okay? On one hand, this is kind of a common way of thinking about blessing. Many people think about blessing this way. It's really a simple cycle. I'm going to do something for God, and he's going to bless me back. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. It's cyclical. I don't even have to draw a diagram. It's so simple. God, I put money in the offering. You're going to give me money back. God, I'm really faithful to you. You're going to bless me with a really hot spouse. God, you know, I pray, and I'm nice. You're going to give me a really good parking spot at the mall during holiday shopping season, whatever, right? Like, it's a simple cycle. I do this, God, you're going to do this. When the reality is, I think if we look at scripture, the biblical idea of blessing, it's not a cycle. It's not a closed circuit. It's a flow. The blessing of God is coming to you, but he didn't just give it to you. He gave it to you to put it through you to bless somebody else. See, the biblical idea of blessing is overflow. Like, there's enough blessing for you that you're walking and living in the blessing of God, but you have enough of it in your life that it overflows from you to bless somebody else. Let me give you an example, okay? There are some people, even wealthy people, who have money, but they're so preoccupied with money, they can't give any to anybody else because they're so tight with their money. They're obsessed with it. They can't even sleep at night, and they got a whole bunch of money. But let me tell you what it really is to be wealthy. When you have enough money to pay your own bills and breathe at night and also be able to be generous and give to somebody else, that's when you're really wealthy. How many of you are tracking with me this morning? And that's what the blessing, it's okay. You can clap for God's word. It's always welcome here. So here's the thing. We got to get a hold of that concept of blessing, because sometimes we're tempted to make blessing a swamp that it just ends up with me. How many of you know, like, that's what happens with swamps, right? Stagnant water collects in one place. Water ends up in a swamp. The blessing of God isn't a swamp. It's a river. It comes through you. It's fresh. It's flowing. God gives it to you to overflow so that you can have not only enough for you, but to overflow and bless somebody else. Now, back to our story for just a moment, back to our passage in Genesis chapter 12. This is a really important passage of scripture because it's a precursor to what God is going to do next when he makes a covenant with Abraham. So God makes this amazing promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 15, Abraham's like, okay, God, this is great. You've promised to make me into a great nation. You're going to give me this promised land. I'm going to have all these descendants. There's this one problem, God. I'm getting really old fast. Abraham was an old man. His wife was an old woman. They were past childbearing years, okay? And this was before certain medical breakthroughs in technology, no little purple pills back then. So Abraham's like, come on, Lord, I need some help here. Like, how's this going to work out? Because I don't even have any descendants. And this is what it says. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 15, God took Abraham out. And he said, Abraham, look at the stars in the skies. He says, I'm going to make your descendants so numerous, they're going to be like the stars in the skies if you can count them. And Abraham looked up to the stars in the skies and he believed the promise of God. And so God makes a covenant with him to bless him, to make him into this great nation, which he does. He goes on to do that. Abraham doesn't just become rich. He becomes the father of the Jewish people. The 12 tribes of Israel come from him, and this great nation is born. But the ultimate fulfillment of this promise that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him comes from one special descendant of Abraham, because if you know anything about Jesus, you know that he came from the Jewish people, right? So here is this people that are born, the descendants of Abraham, this nation that's born. And one of them is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus came to the Jewish people. He was born a Jew. Jesus had a bar mitzvah. Jesus ate kosher, right? Jesus knew how to dance the hora like he was a Jewish boy. His mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, were Jews. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was a son of David. And so Jesus said he came first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we also know that he extended God's blessing, God's work on this world to all of humanity when he poured his life out on the cross. He gave his life so that everybody can be saved, so that the blessing of salvation could come to everyone, so that we can quote John 3:16 now and say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And so Jesus just opened up the blessing of God for everybody. This blessing is ultimately fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Now, Paul picks up on this in Galatians chapter 3. Look at this. Galatians chapter 3, Paul's talking to the church of Galatians, and he's telling them what it means to be saved, what it means to know the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and how he has fulfilled this promise that came to Abraham. Galatians 3, 7 through 9. He says, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. If you have faith, you are a child of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." Look at verse 9. "So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And so Paul says, listen, if you're a believer, you're a spiritual descendant. You're an heir to this promise. You get in. You're grafted into this promise. You're a spiritual descendant of Abraham. It's not just about the Jewish people anymore. You're adopted into the covenant family of God. You're in. We used to have this song that we would sing when I was growing up in Sunday school. And it went like this: "Father Abraham and many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you." Some of y'all are like, "Nah, I grew up Catholic. We didn't sing that one." We were like doing Hail Marys, like, "Nah." That's a song we sang in Sunday school, right? But the idea was like helping kids learn, like, you're a part of God's family. You're a part of God's promise. And so look at verse 9. "So those who rely on faith." How many of you are relying on faith this morning? How many of you know that it isn't your good works and how impressive you are that saved you, but it's the work of Jesus Christ that saved you? And you're relying on faith. Okay, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. Like, you have the same blessing. You get in on this. This is really good. You should be glad you came to church this morning. This is worth the price of admission. You are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So because of what Jesus has done, like, you went from being an outsider, now you're an insider. Here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, the blessing has now extended to the Gentiles. Anybody in here, you're a Gentile? You're not a Jew by background? I'm a Gentile. My hand's in the air. Like, we get in. You get grafted in. You may have been an outsider, but now because of what Jesus Christ has done, Jesus came for the outsiders. Aren't you thankful that nobody has to be left out, but the outsiders can now become insiders because of what Jesus Christ has done for us? You're in. You're in. You're welcome. You may have never been a VIP before, but now you're in. You made it. Because of what Jesus did, this blessing has come to you. It's the blessing of Abraham. It's the blessing of being a part of God's family, of being a part of this story, this lineage. And so as God's people, we're blessed, but not with just any kind of blessing, not with a blessing that just ends with me so I can be happy and healthy and rich and walk around with a smile on my face. No, you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed with an overflow blessing. And so I want to look at that for just a moment today. What does it mean to be blessed to be a blessing? And I want to encourage you to write some notes down. Two ideas this morning. What does it mean to be blessed to be a blessing? And here's the first one. When you're blessed to be a blessing, you have a greater purpose. Everybody say purpose. You have a greater purpose when you're blessed to be a blessing. You know, the average person in Westchester, in Connecticut, in New York City wakes up in the morning and they think about using their talent and their education and their connections and their resources to further themselves to make money so they can make a living, right? That's what most people are doing with their day, with their morning. That's what, you know, come on, we have to do this. This is part of life. This is part of paying bills, right? You got to get up and get on the train and go to Grand Central. You got to commute to your work. You got to get up and work out of the house. You got to take care of things. That's that's what we have to do. Everybody has to do that. But here's the thing. When you are blessed to be a blessing, when you recognize that you're part of God's family, that you're part of this promise, you're part of this covenant, you've been adopted in, you recognize that your life is about something greater than just you. It's about something greater than just making money, so that your talents and your gifts and your purpose and everything that God has given you is not just for you. It's for others. It's for the kingdom. Yeah, you got to make some money. You got to take care of some things. You got to pay the light bills. But here's the reality. Your life is aimed at a greater purpose. Your life is aimed at the kingdom of God, so that you can say, God, everything that you've given me, my talents, my resources, right? My education, my good looks. Come on, somebody. My good look, everything, God. Everything belongs to you. It's about your kingdom, and my life is aimed at your purpose, because you're a part of something bigger. And so you're not just an accountant or a teacher or a bus driver or a nurse or a maintenance worker or a stay-at-home mom. No, no, you are God's representative. You are a representative of God's kingdom, and you carry a blessing with you, and you're blessed to be a blessing. It's a blessing that overflows. You have a greater purpose. You're not just anything. You're not just an accountant crunching numbers in your little corner cubicle in the office. No, no, no. You are God's representative to crunch numbers in that office, to show people what it looks like to be a loving, caring, Jesus, Holy Spirit-filled person in that office, because somebody needs to see somebody like that in the office. They need you. You're a breath of fresh air. You have purpose on your life. You're not just a bus driver driving a bus. You're God's representative driving that bus, so that you're whispering a prayer of blessing over every person who steps into that bus, because they need you driving that bus, because you're God's representative. You bring his kingdom with you wherever you go. Come on, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're not just home taking care of kids and raising kids and doing dishes and cleaning up after kids. It feels like that someday, but you are God's representative to put the kingdom of God inside of those kids' hearts, because you're gonna turn them loose on the world one day, and they're gonna make a difference. Come on, you aren't just nothing. You're not just a teacher. You're not just waging the war on ignorance in the classroom. It feels like that some days, but you are God's representative in there to embody his love and his grace and his mercy to those bunch of knuckleheads who need to see what somebody who loves Jesus looks like every day. Are you with me this morning? You're not just anything. You're God's representative. You have a greater purpose. And so often we get distracted by the hustle and the bustle and the grind of just getting up and doing life and taking care of things and paying bills. But I want you to know this morning, you have a greater purpose. You're a part of something bigger than you. You're a part of a legacy. You're a part of a covenant family. You're a part of a promise that was spoken thousands of years ago, and you are right smack in the middle of it. Okay, here's the second thing. What does it mean to be blessed, to be a blessing? Is this good? Is this helping anybody out? Here's the second thing. Okay, not only do we have a greater purpose, but we don't exist for ourselves. We don't just exist for ourselves. When I say we, I'm talking about us collectively as a local expression of the Church of Jesus Christ. We understand that we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for others. We exist for the broken, for the poor, for the lost, for the forgotten. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. We exist for others. And sadly, sometimes the church has forgotten that. Sometimes churches can become really insulated and really inward focused, and it can just become about survival and maintenance and taking care of the building and paying the light bills. And people kind of get this little holy huddle mentality where we're all singing songs and holding hands and singing kumbaya, and everybody just really feels good to have each other. But here's the reality. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to serve the world. Jesus called his disciples, the apostles, and he sent them out to turn the world upside down. And he said, go and preach the gospel to everybody. He said, go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. So we are the church. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. We got to know that. We got to keep that truth in front of us. See, God has always desired a people for himself who would be his representation in this world, a people who would carry his presence and his purpose and his love in this world. Do you know that's what the Old Testament was about? When you read stories about Israel and this covenant people, you know, God's people in the Old Testament, you might look at that as a modern day person and say, why was God playing favorites? Why did he have this one like nation that he cared about, that he loved above everybody else? Well, the whole point was he wanted his people to be a blessing to the world. He wanted this nation, these people of Israel, the Israelites, he wanted them to be his people who carried his presence, who embodied his purpose, so that they would be a blessing to the nation. And sadly, sometimes, quite often, they forgot that. And that's when Israel would get in trouble. But then Jesus shows up. The Son of God comes to redeem the world. And what does Jesus do when he leaves? After his death, after his burial, after his resurrection, after his ascension, what does he do? On the day of Pentecost, he pours out the Holy Spirit and he leaves the world a church. He leaves a body of people. Now stop and think about this for just a moment. God could have chosen to redeem the world, to redeem creation by any means possible. Hello, he's God. He had all options open to him, okay? And he decided to create for himself a church made up of people. And so you know what that tells me this morning? This is what amazes me. That means that you and me, as part of his body, as part of his church, we're right smack in the middle of what God is doing on planet Earth, what God is doing in world history, in the present, right now. You and I are a part of it. There is no plan B. Plan A is his church. It's his people. And so we don't exist for ourselves. Let me give it to you this way. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to experience the presence of God, you had to go to the temple. You had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. You have to understand, for a Jew, to go to the temple in Jerusalem was like going to Disney World. It was the place you wanted to be. It was the place where dreams came true. I mean, you went to the temple because that was the place where, in their mind, heaven and earth overlapped. And you could go and make sacrifices and worship and encounter the presence of God. And you know what happens after Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on his church? You know what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians? He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so here's what he says. See, that was the Old Testament. You had to go to the temple. In the New Testament, here's what he says. Now, you don't have to go to a particular place to experience God's presence. You carry the presence of God with you everywhere you go. Because I want to get my presence in this world. I want to get my spirit in this world. I need some people who literally carry around their little portable temples everywhere they go, bringing the presence of the Holy Spirit with them. You know, let me just give you a modern day application. That means you can have church in a movie theater because God's presence can show up anywhere. You can go to church in a movie theater and then catch a matinee after service. Come on, someone like, yeah, we are, Pastor. We're going to see a matinee right after this. I can't wait to get some popcorn. Because you take God's presence with you wherever you go. And so Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is within you. Paul said it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so God is wanting to use you in everyday situations to reach everyday people. He's wanting to use you at school, at work, in your neighborhood, in your sphere of influence with your friends. Like he says, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And I want you to realize, like, you don't just exist for yourself. You're taking my presence with you wherever you go to make a difference in people's life. Now back to our story for just a moment, okay? Let's just go back to Genesis for just a moment. Think about this. God shows up and he begins to speak to Abraham. Genesis 12, this amazing promise. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to like make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you a promised land that you're going to go to. And through you, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And, you know, it's just fun for me to think about what could Abraham possibly have conceived at that moment? Could he really get his head around all that God wanted to do? You know, I mean, maybe Abraham could conceive of, okay, I'm going to become really rich, really blessed. I'm going to have servants, right? I'm going to have silver and gold. I'm going to have camels and donkeys. And maybe he pictured, oh, yeah, there he is again. There's the camel. Maybe he pictured, like, you know, maybe he pictured those things. But could he really get his head around the fact that he was going to be the father of a great nation, a great people? Like, this people who would multiply in just a few generations would become thousands of people. That had to be amazing to think about. And could he conceive that out of this nation, out of his own lineage, out of his own descendants would come the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world? Could he have pictured that? Could he have imagined that when God said, I'm going to bless all peoples of the earth through you, did he have any idea that that was part of the fulfillment of that promise? Could he picture that Jesus would leave the world a church? Could he picture the millions of believers throughout 2,000 years of church history who would be the true church, true believers? Could he picture right now in the year 2018, something like 2 billion Christians around the planet? And here we are celebrating today God's family. Could he imagine that the promise would extend that far? It's amazing. It's amazing to think about. It's amazing for me to think about that God would do so much through this man. It was a promise that was unfolding. And, you know, we always focus on the short term. We focus on what God can do for us and these little simple blessings. But God is thinking bigger. God is thinking longer than us. He's thinking about nations and generations. Come on, we're saying God bless me with a parking lot in front of the mall, you know, a parking spot or something crazy like that, some little simple blessing, and we're worried about money, we're worried about this stuff, and God is thinking like, I want to use my church to affect nations and generations. Come on, God's always thinking bigger than us. We're thinking about the short term, he's thinking for the long term. He's seeing all of world history and how he wants to work through his people. Let me tell you a story. You know, I'm standing here this morning because of my grandmother. who you know, was just a matriarch in our family and raised us in the faith. And my grandmother, she lived in New Orleans, my hometown. She grew up in New Orleans. She lived in what's called a shotgun house. A shotgun house, kind of what it sounds like. It's a narrow house. It's a double, identical on both sides. You don't have a lot of frontage on the street. It's kind of a narrow house that extends back. And during the Great Depression in the 1930s, my great-grandparents owned the whole home, but they had to open the other side of the house for someone to rent, because that's what everybody did during the Great Depression to make ends meet. And of course, we understand that here in Westchester, because we have a lot of, you know, houses that were originally single-family houses that have been made into multi-family dwellings, right? We have a lot of doubles, that kind of thing. I live in one. And so this is what happened during the Great Depression. This lady and her daughter, I believe, came to live with my grandmother. Now, my grandmother had some kind of spiritual background. She had grown up in church some, a little bit here and there. But by the time this lady came, they weren't connected to a church. And this lady invited my grandmother and her sisters as a little girl during the Great Depression to church. Brought her to this little Pentecostal church. And would you know that my grandmother, she got saved. She gave her heart to Jesus in that church. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And her life was completely changed. And, you know, she went on to have six boys, my grandmother. She had six boys. And my dad is number four of one of those six boys. And, you know, she raised all those boys in church. And all of those boys grew up to have families of their own, and they raised their families in church. And would you believe my dad, you know, he had four sons, and all four of us were raised in church, and all four of my brothers were all men of the church. We're all involved in ministry some kind of way. And then I think about this. I have some cousins in my generation who are older than me who they not only have kids, but they have children. And now it's extended to five generations that know Jesus because one lady invited my grandmother to church as a little girl during the Great Depression. Can you imagine that? That's faithfulness. Could that lady have pictured that she just thought, I'm just inviting this little girl to church. Could she imagine how she was going to affect five generations of people? The scripture says, in you, all nations, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And, you know, I got to thinking, my dad's traveled. He's done missions. You know, he's a pastor, but he's went to Africa and built a church. And, you know, in Bible college, I started traveling. I've been to Europe and preached the gospel all over the place. And I'm going to go train some church planters overseas later on this year. And could that lady have pictured me, you know, that this kid that would be the grandson of this little girl that she reached would be standing in a movie theater in Westchester County, New York, reaching people in this region. And I tell you, we got nations represented here. We got people from all over the earth. We got Africans here. We got Europeans here. Come on, we got Latinos here. We got black people. We got white people. I love our church. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in the sight. We're better because of it. We got nations here. It's amazing. And what I'm trying to tell you is we get so fixated on these little small blessings about what we can get from God. And God is saying, just dream a little bit bigger than that, because my blessing is bigger. You're blessed to be a blessing. It's about nations. It's about generations. See, expanding the invitation to other people to belong to God's family is right smack in the middle of what it means to be blessed, to be a blessing. The blessing's bigger on your life. You know, I want to tell you this morning, I'm amazed at what God has done in 3 years. Today, as we celebrate God's faithfulness in our church, I'm amazed at what God has done in my life. To think about, you know, 4 years ago, we showed up here and we didn't know anybody. And to see God's faithfulness, to see our church family grow, to see people's lives impacted by the gospel, by the grace, to see lives healed, to see marriages strengthened, to see a church family come together, to see people find relationships that have impacted their life. Like, I'm amazed at the outreach of this church that, you know, we're only about 3 years old. This church has given something close to like $100,000 to church planting. That's amazing. How does that happen? Only God can do that. I'm amazed. You know, we had a Christmas offering this year, and we're starting to help start other new churches. This is a church planting church. We're not just here to have one nice little happy church. We're about reaching the Northeast. And so we just helped plant two churches coming up. And one church that we gave money to in our Christmas offering this year that we helped launch, they just launched just last week up in Hartford, Connecticut, and they had 165 people show up. Come on, we get in on that blessing. See, it's amazing to me to think that we've been able to make a difference and partner with the food bank and the Carver Center and Family Services of Westchester, and we've been able to buy backpacks for kids. Come on, see, the blessing of God, it's bigger than you and me. And now it's coming to people who don't even know us. And so can I just encourage you this morning? Let me just encourage you with this scripture, okay? Because if you're struggling, maybe you need a breakthrough in your life. Maybe there's something that you've been waiting for, like in your marriage or in your career or for your finances. You just feel like you need a breakthrough for like God to show up in your life. Let me just leave you with a scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. The Apostle Paul said this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more." Somebody say immeasurably more. able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul's saying God can do more than you can even imagine. Come on, some of you got big imaginations, and God can do even more than that. If you're waiting for God to show up in some area of your life, be encouraged today. I'm telling you, I've lived this. I've seen God begin to do in my life immeasurably more than I could have imagined that he would do. And so be encouraged. Listen, this promise, though, it's not just for us, you know, particularly personally. It is personal. You can believe for that. But this is a promise for God's people. This is a promise to his church. Do you know, as a church, it's okay to just dream big. Come on, it's okay to realize, God, you want to do more through our church. If God's touched your life in this church, if you found a church home here, if you found healing here, if you reconnected with God here, if God blessed your life in some way, I want to celebrate that today. But I want to say God is able to do immeasurably more than you could ever think or imagine. He can do it. And I want us to come into this next year and just dream bigger. Come on, I want us to just be Holy Spirit-led. Just get a Holy Spirit-sized imagination to believe that we can do even greater things in Westchester. We're going to see more lives touched. We're going to make more room for our family to grow. We're going to bless more people. We're going to serve the poor. We're going to make a difference in this community, because the blessing isn't just for us. We're blessed to be a blessing. It's overflow. And so today, as we're celebrating 3 years of God's faithfulness, on this Palm Sunday, as we're thanking God for all that he's done, I want to leave you with two things, two final things I want to say to you. Here's the first one. I want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of this story. Thank you for being a part of this family. If I've never told you before, you're the answer to my prayers. As your pastor, you are the answer to my prayers. Because I can tell you, in the hardest times, when it didn't look like we were going to get a church off the ground, and when it didn't even look like we could even stay in Westchester, when it seemed impossible to me, there were times when I would close my eyes and pray. And you know what I would see? I would see people worshiping. I would see a church. So every now and then, if you ever see me during worship looking up at you when people are worshiping up here, I'm not counting the attendance. We have ushers to do that. I'm looking up. I'm looking up because I want to see all these beautiful people worshiping together, because, see, that's where God put in my heart. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of this family, for this story. If you're new to our church, if you just started coming in the past few weeks, past few months, if this is your first time today and you're looking for a life-giving church, I want to say welcome home. Come on, welcome home. We got room for you. There's room for our family to grow. We love you. This church is for you. We started it for you. You can be a part of this story. You can be a part of this family. Then here's the second thing I want to say as we celebrate God's blessing on our church. Let's not be like, well, our church is better than everybody else. Look what God's doing. Let me just share this picture on Instagram. We're so awesome. Okay? That's fine. You can celebrate your church. You can brag on your church, okay? But can I just stretch you a little bit this morning? Let's say, God, we know that we're not just blessed to receive your blessing like we're the only church here, but God, we're blessed to be a blessing. God, make us a church that says, as we look back at your faithfulness, God, make us a church that our prayer is more, Lord. God, more, Lord. We want to see more people touched. God, we want to see more people healed. God, we want to see greater things. God, we want to see you work. God, there's more people in Westchester County. God, there's more people in Connecticut. God, there's millions of people in New York City. God, we want to see you do greater things. We want more. God, it's not about us. God, it's about you. God, don't let us just get focused on ourselves and just be happy with our little holy huddle. But God, remind us that we are the church of Jesus Christ, and we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. So that the blessing overflows to maybe somebody's gonna be touched who may never even walk through the doors of this movie theater. Some kid might get a backpack. Come on, some family might get a meal at the food bank. Somebody might get served in some way that maybe they never even become a part of this on Sunday morning, but the blessing overflows from us to them. I don't know about you, but that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. I want to be a part of something like that, and that's who God is calling us to be. And so that's our prayer today, God, more. More. Your blessing doesn't stop with us. Come on, stand with me this morning. I want to pray for you. Worship team is coming back. We're going to sing a final song and have a little celebration this morning. But before we do that, I want to pray with you. And I want to pray a blessing over you. I don't often do this, but I really want to pray a blessing over you personally, a blessing over our church. And maybe if you're open to it, you just want to hold your hands like this. This is a posture, a symbol of saying, God, I'm open to you. I'm open to what you would have for me. And let's just pray together this morning. I'm going to pray that this kind of blessing would come to us, not just any old blessing, not just a blessing that makes us happier or healthier. Yeah, we thank God for those things. We anticipate the reward for those who earnestly seek God. But we want to receive a bigger blessing than that. We want to be people who are blessed to be a blessing. If you want that this morning, would you just open your heart with me as we pray together? God, we thank you this morning on this day, on March 25th, 2018, God, as we look back at your faithfulness, as we say, God, truly nothing is impossible with you. Even as we sang earlier, nothing shall be impossible because, God, we've seen you do what only you can do in this church in a short time. God, we thank you that 3 years ago we came here and we didn't know what was going to happen, but God, you showed up. And lives have been changed because of it. God, we celebrate your goodness today. Now, Father, I pray a blessing over your church today, over every person in this place who's open to receive it. God, we thank you that there is a blessing for those. There is a reward for those who earnestly seek you. God, I'm praying for the person who particularly needs a breakthrough today. Father, maybe they need a new job. God, maybe they need a renewed sense of purpose. God, maybe they need a breakthrough in their mental health, God, in their emotional, physical health, maybe for their marriage. Lord, today, would the faith level in this room rise that we would believe that, God, there is a blessing that you would have for us, that we can flourish when you touch our lives. Father, I pray that for each person, whatever that means, God, you know that different hopes and dreams in this room. Father, bless your people. Show yourself faithful. But God, remind us today that the blessing isn't just for us. It doesn't end with us. God, today as a church, we're praying that you would remind us of what we're a part of. We're part of a bigger story. We're part of a greater legacy. God, we're part of a covenant. We're part of a people, God. We're part of your family, of a blessing that started thousands of years ago. And God, your blessing has come through us to overflow from us to bless other people. So God, make us a church that we're so blessed that we're blessed to be a blessing to others. God, thank you for everything that you've given us, for reminding us today that it's not about us. It doesn't stop with us, but you gave it to us to put it through us, to bless somebody else, to bless our community, and to bless our world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you receive it into your life, would you say,
thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.